Begin the current daf Masech the Shabbos daf Chav Gimel. Begin on the bottom line of Chav Beis and Beis on the bottom, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which the Gemara had a question if one is allowed to light one of the Neris Chanukah from the other one of the Neris Chanukah. And the Gemara ended off in the previous daf saying that would depend on if Hadlokah is a mitzvah or Hanukah is a mitzvah. What is the main thrust of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Is the actual lighting, that's the fulfillment of the mitzvah? Or is it, no, that's just almost like assisting, it's a prereq, but the actual fulfillment of the mitzvah is the Hanukah, is the placing of the mitzvah in the proper place. And that is, if you say Hadlokah is a mitzvah, then you're allowed to light from one candle to the other, just like we find by the Beis HaMikdash, where the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was the fulfillment of the mitzvah. And you were able to light from one, for the name Aravi, from the western lamp to all the other lamps. However, if we say the mitzvah is the Hanukah, it's the place. So then, so to speak, the lighting is just almost setting it up. It's a hechsher mitzvah. Then there would be like lighting with a chip, which would not allow one to light from one Ner Chanukah to the other. That is the question that the Gemara had. The Gemara tried bringing a raya, didn't. Now the Gemara continues and tries to bring another proof. Toshema. The Amar B'shu ben Levi. B'shu ben Levi says, and we continue on to the topic of Gemal Amar Aleph. Regarding a lantern that was continuously burning throughout the entire Shabbos. And this was a type of glass, large lantern. And it was lit for the Ner Chanukah on Erev Shabbos. And now it burned through the whole Shabbos. And now it's Matzah Shabbos and it's still burning. So the halacha is L'Matzah Shabbos Mechaba Madlika. After Shabbos, now you have to light it for the next night's Neres. You have to first extinguish it. And then relight it for the new mitzvah of the current night. So therefore, the Gemara poses the question as follows. If you say that the lighting of the Ner Chanukah is what does the mitzvah, so that makes sense. Why you don't have to, so to speak, replace the Chanukah menorah again. You could just leave it as it is and just relight it because that's the fulfillment of the mitzvah. But if you say the mitzvah is not the lighting, it's the placing and where it's supposed to be, let's say in the tefach, from the doorway and out, exactly where it's supposed to be to Benfrasim the Nes, so then Hay Mechabo Madlika, it's not enough to say that you should extinguish it and relight it. Rather, he should have said, Mechabu umagibiyo umanicho umadlik mibayle. It should have said that first you have to extinguish it, then you lift it up, then you put it back, and then you light it, because it's the actual placement. You didn't do a new placement. Every night it has to have a placement of the new neiros, of the oil and the wick at that night. And if you're just extinguishing it, you just did hadlaka, but you did not do a new hanocha. So therefore it would seem that the hadlaka is the mitzvah and not the hanocha, because if it was the hanocha, you would need to have other parts that would have been said, that it to pick it up and put it back down. And another proof the Gemara brings, that it's the hatloka, that the lighting is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. From the fact that the bracha, the blessing we make when we light the Ner Chanukah, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified us with his mitzvahs and he commanded us what? To kindle the light of the Chanukah. From these two proofs, you can derive that the lighting, the kindling, is what does the mitzvah and not the placement. And therefore, Taisa says, the logical conclusion is that therefore you're allowed to light from one of the Ner Chanukah to the other. As we said, that's comparable now to as they did in the Beis HaMikdash, because the hadlok is the mitzvah, you're allowed to light from one to another. However, Taisa says that since the minig ha'olam, the custom of the world, is to be machmer and be stringent, you should not change the minig, and that is, we don't light from one of the Ner Chanukah to the other. So the Gemara concludes and says, "V'hashu damrin hadlokah is a mitzvah." So now that we say that the lighting is the mitzvah, so therefore, if hadlika cher is shaita v'katan, if let's say a deaf mute or insane person or a minor lights the menorah, lo yasav l'kum, it didn't do anything, because although you're putting it where it's supposed to be, since the lighting is the mitzvah and these people are not mechuyev mitzvahs, it's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah if cher is shaita v'katan lights it. However, the Gemara says, "Isha v'adam hadlika," a woman is definitely allowed to light the menorah. They are obligated in the midst of Ner Chanukah. And the reason is because they also were included in the Nes of Chanukah. That is both on the Gezeris of that time and on the Nisim of the Yeshua that happened, because the Greeks had decreed that all virgin girls that were getting married had to submit themselves first to the Greek leader of that area. And that is, they were included in the Gezeris. They were part of being saved from that Nes because they had the decrees on them. And also, the actual miracle happened through a woman also, that was Yehudis, that went ahead and cut off the head of the leader. And that is, so they were part of the Nes, both in, so to speak, the salvation of the Nes and of the actual miracle happened through them. That's why the women are also mechuyev in the midst of Chanukah. And that's why she could light the menorah, and that would be a fulfillment of the midst of the Ner Chanukah. The Gemara continues with the halachas of Chanukah and says that, a guest is obligated in the halachas of Ner Chanukah. And that is, although we see in the sugya of Ner Chanukah that the mitzvah is on the bais, however, every person has a chiv to fulfill it, and therefore the guest has to find some way to fulfill his mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. As the Gemara illustrates, this Amar Abzera Mireish Kiavin the Beirav, when I was a student in the yeshiva, Mishtatatvam Bepriti Bahad Yishbizis, I participated with a few coins. I was like, so to speak, a partnership with my host to pay him, because since I am obligated as a guest as part of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, so there was one candle being lit for the whole house. I participated by, so to speak, being a partner by paying him for it, and that's how I fulfilled my mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. However, Basad in the CV Itza Amina, but after that I got married to a woman. And although he was married, he had to sometimes he had to go far away and stay by host because he was learning in the yeshiva far out of where he lived. Therefore, he said, now I definitely do not have to give some coins to the host to be put. That will be a fulfillment of mechiyav of Ner Chanukah by participating that way. Because they're lighting for me in my house, and that is because of me, meaning they're fulfilling it for me in my house. My wife is lighting, since it's called Ner Isha Beis, so the chiyuv is that every man and his wife and his family, they fulfill it by having their one candle in the house. Although he's somewhere else, and now he's a guest by host, he does not have to fulfill it that way because he's included in the mitzvah of what's happening in his house by his wife's lighting of the candles. Now the Gemara continues regarding the shemen, the different oil of the Ner Chanukah. All oils are appropriate for the candles of the Ner Chanukah. However, but the choicest oil is olive oil, and that's the best one. As the Gemara illustrates this, that originally his master, his Rebbe, Rabbi Ban Nachmeni, he used to go after and search to use sesame seed oil for the Neris. And the reason was because this one prolongs the lighting more. And that is, it doesn't go out as quickly as by olive oil. It takes a long time for it to go out. So therefore, that was like almost like his hiddur for getting the sesame seed oil. However, keeping the shama lalahadri, Bishu ben Levi, once he heard this teaching of Bishu ben Levi, mahada mishcha dezeh, so then he went after olive oil. And he said the reason was because olive oil, it has a cleaner and purer light, and that's better hiddur than lasting longer, and that's why he went after Shemin's eyes instead of getting the sesame seed oil. Asim halacha from the same amur, v'amir Bishu ben Levi, kol hashmonim yofin ledyoy. All oils are appropriate, they're good for using for black ink. However, v'shemin zayis min amuvcha, the best one for ink, for black ink, is olive oil. So the Gemara asks, Iboil hu, legavel oil ashen. This is, we say that the oils that are good for black ink and the best one is olive oil. What do we mean for what part of the black ink? Is it for when they knead the soot, or is it when they're smoking the glass vessel? And that is, the way they used to make the black ink was they used to take a glass vessel and they would smoke up, preferably olive oil, that would go until it would get black, all the walls of the glass vessel would get black, and they would scrape off the black part, then they would, from that black part, they would mix it with a little bit of oil, and knead it with that soot that was made from the olive oil that was smoked, then they would dry that in the sun, and then they would mix it together with the ink. That is how they made the black ink. So therefore the question the Gemara is asking is, which aspect are we talking about that olive oil is the best? By the part when they would smoke it, that it would make the blackened soot from the perimeter of the inside perimeter of the glass vessel? Or are we talking about the second part, when they would take that soot and then mix it with a little bit of oil? Is that what we're talking about, that the olive oil is the best? So the Gemara says, Tashma, the Tanya of Shmuel Bazutra, that all oils are good for the black ink. And olive oil is the best one. The choice is bein legavel, bein lashon. We're talking about both for the kneading of the soot, which is the second part, and also for the smoking, which is the first part, when they would make the soot in the first place. A different version of this, Rav Shmuel Bazutra Masni Hochi, he says as follows. All the smoke-generating oils are good for the black ink. And olive oil is the best one. Therefore, that version is saying it's just regarding for the smoking to make the soot in the first place, but not regarding the kneading of the soot with that little bit of oil. That could be any oil. However, to make the soot, the best one is the olive oil. And the Gemara concludes with a similar statement. All types of gums are good for the black ink. But this blackthorn gum is the best one of all. That's the best one if one wants to use for black ink. Now the Gemara resumes with the halachas of Ner Chanukah, specifically regarding the bracha that we make. Some of the lights, the Chanukah menorah, he has to make a bracha. Yirmiyah says that someone that sees the Ner Chanukah, he also has to make a bracha. And that is, if someone is walking through the marketplace and he sees one of the courtyards that has a lit menorah. However, this halacha is, he doesn't need to say this bracha only if they didn't light for him yet in his house, or someone that's on a ship that's not going to be light, that type of person, since he's not lighting it to make a bracha, he has to make a bracha when he sees the Ner Chanukah. So now the Gemara explains. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Yom Rishon Haroyim Mevarach Beis, the first day of Chanukah, the one who sees the Chanukah menorah, he makes two brachas, which is the bracha of Sha'asa Nisan Laveseinu and the bracha of Shachianu, but he does not make the bracha Lahalig Ner Shachanukah because he's not lighting. Umadlik Mevarach Gimel, and the Gemara says, but the one who lights makes three brachas because he adds on the bracha of Lahalig Ner Shachanukah. Mekam ve'eilach malik mevarach shtayim, but from the second night on, then the one who lights makes two brachas. V'roi mevarach achas, the one who sees it makes only one bracha. So the Gemara asks, maimemait, what are we deleting? What is it that when someone's lighting the rest of the days, which one of the three is the one that is not making, and that someone that sees only makes one and not two? So the Gemara says, maimemait zman, the one that we don't say the rest of the days of Chanukah, only the first night, is the bracha of zman, which is the bracha of shechianu. The Gemara asks, maimemait neis, why don't we delete the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim? Why don't we say the Shechianu, which we're happy that we came to this time, and only the first night, but versus Sha'asa Nisim we make every night? So the Gemara answers, because Nes Kol Yemi Isa, because the miracle was every single day. And that is, we had the oil that was left over from the pach, from the flask, that every night was part of that miracle. But regarding the bracha of Zman of Shechianu, once we reached the time of Chanukah, we already reached it. So that's Shechianu v'kimon v'giyanu. We reached the time of Chanukah. We don't have to say it every single night. We made it here. However, the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim applies to every single night. So now the Gemara asks, my mevarach, what exactly is the nusach of the bracha that we make? Mevarach hashek edushan b'mitzvei sevitzvon l'halik ner shechanukah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified us with His commandments and He commanded us with the lighting of the ner of Chanukah. So now the Gemara asks a fundamental question regarding all mitzvah d'rabban that we make brachas v'tzivon v'heichen zivonu. Where did Hashem command us? It's not a mitzvah d'raisa, it was a mitzvah d'rabban that was instituted at a later time in history. So how do we make on different mitzvahs d'rabban? Hashem k'dishanu b'mitzvei sevitzivonu, that Hashem commanded us. Where did He command us? It's d'rabbanan that made it up later. So the Gemara has a few different psukim to show that the mitzvahs d'rabbanan have a biblical allusion to it, that it's the Torah commanded us to listen to the Chacham, and that's where Hashem commanded us. Rav Avya Amar, he brings from the following pasuk, Miloy Sasser, that we should not deviate, as the pasuk concludes, Min Hadavah Sheigidu Lecha, from the things that they tell you. You see that the Torah commands us to listen to the Chacham, to the Chazal, and that's what we say, that Vitzivonu, He, Hashem, so to speak, commanded us to light the Ner Chanukah. Rav Nechemya Amar, he brings a different pasuk, Shal Avicha V'yegedcha, ask your father and he'll tell you, Zekinecha V'yemer Lach, and your elders, and they'll say to you, that is again, that we see that the Torah is telling us that you should listen to your elders, which is the mitzvah of listening to Chazal to light the Ner Chanukah. Now the Gemara asks, Masr Rav Amram, regarding this that we said that we make a bracha on mitzvahs d'rabbanan, which that's what we're saying, we say b'tzivanu, we're making a bracha on the mitzvah of lighting Ner Chanukah. We learned as follows, Hadimai, regarding these fruits of Amaoritz, which we're not sure if we took off Meiser or not, and therefore mitzat hasafik, Chazal made this halacha of Demai that we have to take off Meiser. The halacha is ma'arvin boy, we're allowed to use this produce of Demai, although we didn't take off this, so to speak, this not sure Meiser from it yet, you're still allowed to use it for a river Chatzeris and a river Tchumen. And you can use it for a shetuv and mevayis. And the reason is because although it's not produce that you can use and you can eat, because it is possible, because if you want, you can make all your properties hefker, ownerless, and then the person becomes an ani. And as the Mishnah says elsewhere, that machilin es ani b'demai, that we're allowed to feed poor people demai, Chazal did not make their institution of the isra of demai on poor people, therefore it is considered fitting for the person that he could, it's edible, at least in that state, if he was mafker oz nechasim. Therefore, we can use it for things that have to have edible things, like an eruv and a shetuf and mevayis, and therefore it continues a mevarach in the love. And we make on it the bracha of hamoitzi, umazam the love, and we can make on it birchas azimun, that is when three people join in birchas amazim together, when they say rabbeisai and nevarech. Mafrish and isa'arm, and you could separate the maestris from this demai when a person is unclothed, and that is, you don't have to make a bracha on it. When you're separating it, that's because if you're making a bracha, then you obviously cannot be arm. And that's as the Gemara is going to say in a moment. Uben Hashmashas, and you're even allowed to separate this Meister, Uben Hashmashas, on Erev Shabbos, which although you're not supposed to do any malachas on Erev Shabbos, but to be mafresh the Meister from this Demai, you're allowed to do by twilight right before Shabbos. Now the Gemara develops this question. V'yamrit kol mitzvah by bracha. Now if you're going to say that every mitzvah bun requires a bracha, and therefore the same would apply over here by Demai, that it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanan to be mafresh the meiser from this demai, because we don't know, and that's the suffix that Rabban made us take off this extra demai because maybe this ignoramus didn't take off meiser. So then we have to make a bracha. So therefore, this person that's naked, he's not clothed, how could he make the bracha that he makes when he takes off mafresh the meiser? But we need, as the pasuk says, that the camp shall be holy and sanctified. And that is, as the pasuk says, "V'le'irah b'cha ervas davar." It says, "Should not be seen by you a thing of nakedness." The term of the pasuk is Ervas Dover. The Chazal darshan elsewhere that even Dover, which is Deber, even the speech of mentioning Hashem's name, at that time it should not be Yara B'cha Ervas Dover, you should not be able to see any nakedness. And therefore, it's understandable that you could separate naked when the Meiser, if you're not making a bracha. However, now that you're saying that you make a bracha even on mitzvah drabanan, and this is a mitzvah drabanan to take off the Meiser, how are you making a bracha? But you have to be dressed appropriately when one makes the bracha. There cannot be any erva, and if someone's naked, definitely erva is showing when he makes the bracha. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaya, vadi de devrein boi bracha. A definite rabbinic institution definitely needs a bracha. For example, like Ner Chanuk, where they said definitely there's something you have to do, then you have to make a bracha. Safik de devreim loy boy bracha. But a mitzvah d'rabbanan out of doubt, for example, like the case of demai, that the hafrasha, the separating of a tenth of the produce, is only because the rabbanan were not sure if the maaser was taken off already or not, such an institution of the rabbanan does not require a bracha. And therefore, it's not a question why this person can take off the hafrasha of the demai when he's unclothed, although there is a mitzvah by definite rabbanan to make a bracha. To which Gemara asks, "Well, Yom Tov shein the subject of Devarim, who?" But the second day of Yom Tov, which we have in Chutz Lartz, which is a so to speak, Drabban made because they were not sure which day was the proper day of Yom Tov, and therefore they instituted to have 2 days of Yom Tov out of Eretz Yisrael. Ubayi bracha, and still we require bracha, which is we make kiddush on that day, we make brachas, and therefore we see we're making brachas in spite of the fact that it's a suffik. So how could you say that you don't make a bracha by Demai because it's a suffik? So the Gemara says, "You're right. By suffik, you don't make a bracha." But by Yom Tov Shein, it's a different reason. Because it's only that we should not disrespect the second day of Yom Tov, but we're going to have Yom Tov. We're not going to make Kiddush. People are going to say, this is not a real Yom Tov. And therefore, we instituted to make a bracha, but other things of Safik, which don't have that concern, we don't make a bracha, which includes the halacha of the hafrash of Demai. The Gemara gives a different teretz. Rav Amar Rava says that really Yom Tov Me'ikra then requires a bracha. Not because it's disrespectful, and that is because he holds that even a Safik Drabbanan, that they instituted something mitzad ha-Safik because they were unsure, even out of doubt, it requires a bracha. And that's why you have to make. So what's with Demai? Demai, even a Safik, it's not. Rather, it's a Chumr Ba'alma, as the Gemara says, Reiv Ama Ha'aretz Ma'asenheim. Most ignoramuses, most of the people of the populace, they do take off Ma'aser. However, the Chacham were very concerned because they were machmer on the halacha of Meister, so they said that you have to take off another tenth anyway. But that's not a Safik Drabban, that's almost like a Chumr Ba'alma. That's why over there you don't make a bracha. But even a regular generic Safik, like by Yom Tov Sheni, is the same as a Vadi Drabban, and we make a bracha, and that's why the exception would be the halacha of Demai, that there you could be mafresh, even Aram, that because there's not a bracha, because it's just a Chumr Ba'alma. Now the Gemara continues on to a specific adjunct to the halachas of Ner Chanuk, which is the halacha of Maris Ayin, the things that people would be suspicious that you're not fulfilling a proper mitzvah, so therefore we have to reckon with that suspicion. And specifically regarding the halachas of Chanuk, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Chatzur sheyesh lo beis psachim, regarding a courtyard that has two entrances, two doors, Tzricha shtei neres, it needs to have two candles at each doorway. Amar Rav, and Rav says, Lo yamorin ele mishtei ruchis, we didn't say this only if the two entrances are on two different sides. One's by the north, for example, and one's by the east. But if both doors are on the same side, then you don't have to have both a candle by both doors. Rather, it's enough even by one. So you might ask, my time, what's the reason of this halacha? If it's because of suspicion, that because if you have two doorways, and that people are going to see there's no one lighting over there, and say, this guy is not keeping the mitzvah of Nechanika, and because they don't know about the other door. But chashad deman, whose suspicion are we concerned with? Ilim chashad de'alma, if it's we're concerned about the people of a different city that are coming by at, you know, for the marketplace, wherever they're coming to the city, and people from the world. Then even if the two doors are on one side, then you should require a candle by each door. And that is because they'll think that it's like a two-story house, and therefore that it's split inside. So who cares that it's on the same side? You should still have to have a candle by both doors, even though they're right near each other. And Icha Shadid ibn Masa, and if we're concerned about the suspicion of the townspeople, and that is they know that it's not a two-family house, so therefore you only have to have by one of the doors, not by the other, then the Filim Shnei Ruch is Namilulubay, then even if they're on two upper sides, you don't have to have. This guy has a corner property, and he has one entrance on one side, one entrance on the other. Everyone knows that it's his address, and that he's the only one that lives there. So why do you have to have on one by the north and one by the east, if everyone knows that it's his house, and it's not from someone else's house? So the Gemara says, "Lo'ilu mishum chashad ibn Masa." Really, we're talking about the suspicion of the townspeople. So then, why are we concerned? Bezimna de mechalfe b'hai, because sometimes it can happen that someone's passing by on one side of the street, and he's not, so to speak, crossing the bend. He's only walking that way, and he doesn't pass the other entrance. And he's going to say, oh, just like he didn't light on this side, he probably didn't light on that side either. And therefore, because, although if he would pass by there, he would see, and he would know that it's really one person. But since he might not pass by that way, and he's going to see that it's not lit over here, he might be suspicious of that person didn't light on the other side either. That's why we mandate the person to light on both sides of the doorways, that when one is on one side and one is on the other side. So that's why we would have to have a lighting on either side. Now the Gemara says, where do we find this, that we're so concerned about the suspicion of other people, and that because of that we have to make this gezeira that I have to light two times, one in each doorway, because someone might pass by one way and he's going to suspect that I'm not lighting the other side. So the Gemara says, the time is to learn the braisa. Amr b'shimin b'shvelah bar dvarim amr Torah l'anich peyeh b'sev sedeo. B'shimin says that because of four different reasons, the Torah said to put the peyeh, which was the corner of the field, that was, he had to leave that part of the crop for the poor people, that has to be left at the end of the field. In other words, at the time when you're finishing reaping, as the pasuk says, l'tachal, you should not finish off the reaping, which is mashma, at the time when you're finishing off, that you shouldn't finish it off. Rather, you should leave a little bit at the corner for the poor people. Now, why do you have to leave it at the end? Why can't you do it during the middle? So there's four reasons why. One is b'mnei gezlanim, because of theft from the poor people. U'mnei bitlanim, because of the idleness of the poor people. And the Gemara is going to explain what all these four things are. U'mnei hachashadim, because of suspicion. And the fourth one is u'mishum bal tachala, as the pasuk says, that because that person should not finish off all the reaping. Those are the four reasons. So the Gemara explains. U'mnei gezlanim, because of the theft of the poor people. That the owner of the field should not see an opportune moment, and that is, he'll see that there's no poor people there because he's in the middle of reaping his crop and it's not finished yet. He's going to tell his relative that's a poor person. He say, hey, look, I have pay over here. And that is, he's going to tell his relative, come quickly until all the others don't come. But because no one knows, he's not finished, he's in the middle of reaping the crop. But now that we say that he has to leave the pay only at the end when he's finished reaping, then the poor are going to see that he's almost done, then they're all going to come. He's not going to be able to favor his relative over other ones. So that's because the concern about the theft of the poor, that you might be, so to speak, not allowing everyone else to get a fair part of that payah. That's where he says, no, when you're finished, you have to leave over that, everyone will know, and therefore you won't be able to show favoritism to your relative. We continue on to Amud Beis, where the Gemara says the next pshat, which is Mnei Bitlanim, because of the idleness of the poor people. And that is because if you could do it any time, they won't know when you're going to reap it, and that is to leave the portion that you're designating as payah. And that is, as the Gemara says, Shlo Yanim Yeshin Mishamen, that the poor don't have to sit and wait, and they're going to say, oh, Achsha Menir Balavai's payah. Oh, now he's leaving the payah. And that is, now they'll know that, no, they don't have to wait around. If they see that you didn't finish all the whole middle of the field and everything, and that you didn't get to the corner yet, they'll know they don't have to sit around and wait around. They can go ahead and do other things that they have to take care of. The third one was Ubnei Chashad, because of suspicion. And that is that people are passing by at the time when the person is finishing up the reaping of his field, that they see that he finishes the whole thing, and they don't know that he already gave before. As the Gemara says, Shleyu Oivin B'Shavin Oimrim, Tavim Ar La'odim Shleyinich Pei B'Sadeh, that people that are passing by shouldn't say, oh, this person should be cursed because he did not leave Peya, this corner part of the crop in this field, because they don't know that he did it earlier before he finished everything. Because of that, we don't want people to curse him, that suspect him that he didn't. So therefore we say that everyone has to leave it at the end, and then everyone will see that he's leaving the payah for the poor people. The fourth reason was umishum bal tachala, as the pasuk says, because there's a prohibition of finishing off, which again is mashma, at the time of finishing off, and that's when you should leave it. To which the Gemara asks, atukula la mishum bal tachala, and then aren't all these other three things that we mentioned beforehand components of and reasons of the Torah when it says loy techala? It's all explaining why is it that at the end the Torah says don't finish it off and you should leave it. So what is this fourth reason of the pasuk about techala? It's all explanations of that. So amarav b'nei haramoin, what it really means to say is because of the deceivers, that those that would be over, they would transgress on this law of loy techala, and they're going to say, oh, we already left it earlier. For those people, he said, no, bal techala. It's at that time, at the end, that you're not allowed to finish it off, and that way we'll avoid the deceivers of saying, oh, I already did it. We'll say, you can't have already done it. It's only possible to do it at the end. These are the four reasons why we said that the mitzvah of pay was only at the end of the reaping and not sometime before that. Now the Gemara returns to the halachas of Ner Chanukah and speaks about different types of menorahs. And that is, Amrav Yitzchak Baradifa, Amrav Huna, Ner Sheyesh L'Shnei Pias, regarding a lamp that has two openings. So then, Oyla L'Bnei's B'nei Adam. So that counts for two different people. And that is their menorahs, they were made out of pottery, and they were covered, and they made this type of this opening, this crevice towards the end of the covering that you could stick out a wick from there, and that was the opening. That was called the pet. And then above, on the top of the middle, there was a small little hole, and that was also above from the covering. And from there, they were dripping the oil to go in through the hole over there a little bit at a time. And if there were two holes on either side of this pot that would hold their candles, so then that could be counted for two different people, and that is for those that, let's say, do mahadrin, and they light a candle each night for as many people there are in the house. So if there are two people in the house, one could light at one end of it, and one could light at the other end of it, and it counts for two different people. Another similar type of case, the Gemara brings it, Amar Rava, Mili Ka'or Hashem, if someone fills up a plate with oil, V'hikifa Psilis, and then he surrounds it with wicks, and then Kafa Aleh Kli, then he covers it with a vessel that I guess has holes that you could put the wick sticking out of it. Oyla Kamni Adam, it counts for many different people, and that is each wick could be counted for a different person's near. However, Loi Kafa Aleh Kli, but if you didn't cover it with a vessel, you just had an open plate full with oil and had all these wicks sticking out of it, then Asa Kamin Madura, then it's going to be made as in the bonfire, as a large fire, and then then it won't count even for one person. And that is, of course, the whole flame will join together into the middle, and it won't even be compared, it won't be even similar to a candle, it will look like a fire. And the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah's dafka has to be like a candle, and that's to commemorate the menorah, which was a candle, not a fire. And therefore, if you don't cover it with a candle, not only with a cover, not only won't it work for many people, it won't work even for one person, because it won't even be like one candle, it'll be like a fire. Now the Gemara continues regarding the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, but specifically regarding the order of priorities regarding different mitzvahs relating to the mitzvahs of Ner Chanukah and to others. Amar Rava, pshitli, it's obvious to me, Ner Beisav and Ner Chanukah, if someone has to choose between the candle for his house, that's the candle of Shabbos, and that is if he's a poor person and he doesn't have money to buy oil for two candles, only for one. So he has to choose between the Ner Shabbos and the Ner of Chanukah. So he says, it's obvious to me that Ner Beisai Adav. Obviously, the Ner of Shabbos for his house, that's better. Mishum Sholem Beisai, because besides the halacha that it's covered Shabbos and Oinik Shabbos to light the Ner Shabbos, there's a component of Sholem Bayis that's implicit over there. And that is because the people in the house, they mitzvah to sit in darkness over Shabbos. So therefore, the mitzvah is to light the Ner Chanukah, the Ner Shabbos over the Ner Chanukah, because that's a component of Sholem Bayis. Ner Beisav Kiddush Hayom, if someone has to choose between the candle of Shabbos or the Kiddush of Shabbos, Ner Beisav Adav, again, the Shabbos candles outweighs even the mitzvah of making Kiddush on Shabbos, Mishom Shom Beisav, again, because of the peace in the home, that having light is more important than making Kiddush on a cup of wine. However, Bai Rava asks, let's say Ner Chanukah V'Kiddush Hayom Mahu. If someone has enough money only to buy either a candle for the Ner Chanukah or to buy a cup of wine for the Kiddush, what's the halacha? Do we say Kiddush Hayom Adav to Tadeh, that the Kiddush of Shabbos is better? That's because it's frequent, it comes every week, and therefore that has priority to buy first. Maybe Ner Chanukah is better, because even though it only comes once a year, but because it publicizes the great miracle that happened, it takes priority over the halacha of having Kiddush on Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Basa de bayi hada pashta." After he posed the question, he resolved and he says, "Ner Chanukah adav mishum pasumin nisam." The Ner Chanukah is better if someone has enough money only for Kiddush or for Ner Chanukah. You buy the Ner Chanukah because of the publicity, the publicizing of the miracle of Chanukah is much better. As we find many times, the Pesumin Nisa has priorities over many other things because we want to publicize the great miracles that Kaddish Baruch Hu does for us. Now the Gemara continues regarding the Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos, the great reward that a person gets for lighting Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos. Amrafun Harogl B'Ner, if someone is habitual in lighting the candles of Shabbos and Chanukah, Havayin Leibonim Tamid Chacham, he has sons that will be Tamid Chacham. As the Pasuk of Mishlei says, Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Ar, that because the commandment is a candle and the Torah is a light, which tells us to say that through the Ner Mitzvah, which is the candles of Mitzvah of Shabbos and Chanukah, then you get Torah Ar, then you get the light of Torah. And that's why if the woman is habitual to light it, and the husband, that that's their priorities to light these candles, they'll have sons who are Tamid Chacham. Similarly, the Gemara says, Hazari b'mitzvah, someone is careful in the mitzvah of mezuzah, Zeich l'dirna, he merits to have a beautiful residence. Hazari b'tzitzis, Zeich l'talasna, if someone is careful in the mitzvah of tzitzis, so then he merits to have a beautiful garment. Hazari b'kiddush ayayim, someone is careful with the mitzvah of kiddush of Shabbos, so then Zeich m'mali, garva yayin, so then he merits and he fills kegs of wine. And this is a fundamental principle, that is, if someone, so to speak, almost beats HaKadosh Baruch Hu to it, and he does the mitzvah before he has the opportunity even to have that item, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you really want to do it, I'll give you a beautiful thing to use it as the mitzvah. So if he's very careful with the halacha of mezuzah, he'll have a beautiful house, which the mezuzah is adorning that. And if he's very careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis, he'll have a beautiful garment. And therefore, some people would, for example, to have children, so they do mitzvahs related to that, so that they merit to have that. It's certain things about Hashem and Kodesh Baruch Hu, that everything you're giving me is just a conduit, is the ability to fulfill the mitzvahs. And therefore, Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to give you a beautiful item so that you can do the mitzvah, mahadrim and a mahadrim, that you can do the mitzvah beautifully. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna have a ragel that have a cholif at Tanya Pischa der Bava Nagra. The Gemara brings a story related to this, that Rav Huna, he used to pass by the doorway of Rav Oven the carpenter. The chazad that have a ragel b'shagi tuvi, so that they were accustomed to lighting many, many lights for Shabbos. So Amma trei gavi ravavi nafki mahachia, similar to the halachic statement we just said before, that he says that two big Tamil Chachamah are going to come out from this family. And as the Gemara says, nafki minayi rav ida bar oven, rav chi bar oven. That came out from them, these two Talmid Chacham, Rav Idi and Rav Chiya. Similarly, the Gemara brings the story that Rav Chizda have a rogel, they have a chalaf etani, a pischa de beinoshad Rav Shizva, that Rav Chizda used to pass by the opening of, some say that it means the father, or some say it means the father-in-law of Rav Shizbi. Chazda have a rogel b'shagatuvi, saw that they were accustomed to have many candles for Shabbos. Amar, gavar rabbi nafik mach, he says, a great man's going to come out from here. Nafik minar Rav Shizbi, and Rav Shizbi came out from there. If it means that it was his son, obviously it means that it was a son came out of them. And some say that if it was his father-in-law's house, because a son-in-law is like a son, and that's why he merited to have such a son-in-law, because he lit many candles. Taisus points out the discrepancy between the two stories, that the first one, the Talmud Chacham that passed by, said they're going to have two big Talmud Chacham, and the second story instead there's going to be one Talmud Chacham. So Taisus says, because in the first story is that the husband and the wife lit many candles, and that's why they merited the two Talmud Chacham. The second story was the woman alone, and that's why he merited to have only one big Talmid Chacham coming out of that family. Now the Gemara continues regarding the light, the time, the zman of Hadlaka Shabbos, of when to light the Ner Shabbos. The base of the Rav Yosef have is Ma'achara Umadlakas La. The wife of Yosef used to delay to light the Ner of Shabbos very close, right before it got dark, right before Shabbos. In other words, to show that it's being done for Shabbos. Some of Yosef Tanya, Rav Yosef said to her, it says in the following Brayse as follows, and they wanted to tell her that she shouldn't be lighting so close to when it got dark, and she should light a little bit early. And he brought her from the following Brayse to prove his point. It says in the Pasuk, Lo yomesh amura onan yoimim, v'amura oish loyla, that Hashem did not remove the pillar of the clouds during the day, and the pillar of fire at nighttime. And that is, that's like, it says that almost there was no time that there wasn't one or the other. And that's really an extra pasuk, because it could have just said, it says, Hashem hoylech lefnei yom, Hashem went in front of them during the day. And he used the clouds of glory to show them where to go. So we know that it was there. So why do we have to say that it was not removed, that there was no time, that there was neither one nor the other? So the Brisa says, Malam shamud anun mashl mamur oesh. It's coming to tell you that they overlapped, that the cloud of the glory overlapped the pillar of the fire. And the Amud Ha'esh, Mashem L'Amud Ha'anan, and that the pillar of the fire overlapped with the clouds of the glory. And that is because it came early, that is, so to speak, the pillar of the fire came early when the clouds of glory were still there, before it got dark, before it got shkia ready. So therefore, he was telling his wife, you see, that's the way it should be. In other words, we should overlap a little bit. We shouldn't, so to speak, light right when it gets dark. We see, just like the pillar of fire came a little bit early to overlap, that there shouldn't be any discrepancy between the timings. So to you shouldn't light right before it gets dark. We should have at least a little bit earlier before. So the Gemara says that Savolak Duma, so she thought to advance, in other words, to light very early, like she's going to light already at 11 o'clock in the morning. Samalah, who saba, so the elder told her, Tanina, we learned, Ubovach lo yaktim shleyach, as long as one does not light it too early or too late. And that is the halacha, as we know, that one should not light before Plaga Mincha, that it's a certain time when you're allowed to light the Ner Shabbos, but not before that, so therefore not too late, but not too early. So now the Gemara brings another reward that a person would, if he does these things, that he'll get to Ban Tamid Chacham, he'll have sons that will be Tamid Chacham, just like we said regarding the lighting of the Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah, so too other things bring to his children that are Tamid Chacham. Amar Rava, the Rachim Rabban, someone that loves Tamid Chacham, Talmudic scholars, so then Havile Benin Rabban, it's very simple arithmetic, that if he loves Rabbanon, then he'll have sons of Rabban, and they'll see that, and they'll feed off that, and they'll become Tamid Chacham themselves. The Moik Rabban, someone that honors Rabban, he doesn't love them, but he honors them. Then Havali Chasmanus of Rabban, then he has sons-in-laws of the Rabban. But his sons don't get that feeling of love that he has for it. The Dachum Rabban, someone that fears the Talmudic scholars. Havi Gufei Havitz Rabban, he himself will become a Talmudic scholar. And that is because, again, it's just old natural, it's just the reality of things, the way a person is. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes it that's how he creates his atmosphere. And if he has all these different types of midas, that will create this type of a matzav in this house that either will have sons, Talmid Chacham, or son-in-laws, or he himself, if he fears them, will become a Talmid Chacham himself. However, the Gemara says, V'ilav bar hachihu, if he's not capable of being a Talmid Chacham, which Rashi says everyone is capable of being a Talmid Chacham, but it just means that he's not ruggled to be Isaac and Torah, he's not accustomed to be learning, and therefore if you don't learn, of course you're not going to be Talmid Chacham. However, because he fears Rabban, Mishta'amen mi'ilei ketzuv Rabban, his words will be heard like a sharp Talmud Chacham, like a Talmudic scholar. And that is, he'll have some type of a merit. He will be rewarded for his fear for Talmud Chacham, even if he doesn't sit down to learn. Now the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah that says, V'loy b'shem and sreif v'chul, that we're not allowed to use this burnt oil for the shemen, for the oil that's used for the candles of Shabbos. So the Gemara has my shemen sreif. What does it mean, this burnt oil? So Amar Rabbi, it's a reference to shemen shel truma shenitma, for the oil of truma that became tamei. My car, Lashem and Srefa. Why do we call it burnt oil? Because Hoyul Srefa, since it's subject to burning, and that is because since it's Asr Bachila, it's forbidden to eat, so therefore you have to burn it so that no one eats it. That's why we call it Shem and Srefa. That type of oil cannot be used on Shabbos. Rosh Gemara asks, but Shabbos is my time of love. Why can't we use it to light it for the Ner Shabbos? We have to consume it, we have to burn it up anyway, so might as well use it for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Mitoich Shem Mitzvah of Lavari, since it's a mitzvah on this person to go ahead and burn it, to consume it. Because, or else we're concerned that it might come to a situation where someone by mistake might eat it, so you have to quickly get rid of it. Xerishamiyata, we're concerned that the person might tilt it so it could burn quickly. Say he's afraid someone might see it and might drink from it and might not know that it's something that's forbidden to drink from. So therefore, he's going to want to get it burnt, and he sees on Shabbos not burning so well. So it's similar to all the other cases in our mission that we said we can't use as oils or wicks because you might tilt it to get it burning well. That's why we can't use it on Shabbos. However, Abaye says, so then on Yom Tov we should be able to use it for the Ner of Yom Tov. And that is because on Yom Tov there's no concern about Shemiyata that you might tilt it, because on Yom Tov you're allowed to burn a candle. Alamatnan, why did we learn in the following Mishnah that Eimad Likim is Shemen Sreifa b'Yom Tov? That we're not allowed to light with this Shemen Sreifa, which is a reference to this Shemen of Truma that became Tomei, on Yom Tov. L'chari, there's no problem with Shemiyata. So the Gemara says, Gzeri Yom Tov atu Shabbos. If it allowed you to light the Ner Yom Tov with this oil, you might come to use it for the Ner of Shabbos. You're going to have it as stock that you use for it. And on Shabbos, we're not allowed to again because you do have the Gzer of Shemayata. The Gemara gives a different reason for why this Shemen of Truma that became Tomei is forbidden to use as the oil for the Ner of Shabbos. We're not concerned about you might come to tilt it. No one is so vigilant about this mitzvah of having it burned. He's just going to let it burn. If it doesn't, he's not going to come to tilt it. It's only if someone's engrossed in reading or learning that he's going to come to tilt it. Rather, so what's the reason? We're talking about a specific case that you can't use it to light the Friday night candles. We're talking about that Erev Shabbos is Yom Tov. And that is, he has to light the Erev Shabbos before it gets Shabbos. So therefore, it comes out that he's burning this Kachem, this Truma Tumei, on Yom Tov. As the Gemara says later, that we learn that from Sukkim, that you're not allowed to burn Kachem on Yom Tov. And that's why you can't burn this on Erev Shabbos. But of course, on the regular Erev Shabbos, it's not a problem. It's just as the Gemara says, Lefishein Sarfim Kachem Yom Tov. Since you're not allowed to burn Kachem on Yom Tov, and this Truma Tumeya is burning, you're going to be burning the Kachem on Yom Tov, that's forbidden, and that's why you can't light it for the Shabbos candles, because it's going to be done on Erev Shabbos on Friday, which is Yom Tov, and in Yom Tov you can't burn it. However, the Gemara asks, Baha Mediktani, Seif Eimad Likim Mishem and Seif B'Yom Tov. The following Mishnah, the Seifa says, that you're not allowed to light the Shem and Seif on Yom Tov. Obviously, the first part, which is our Mishnah, is not talking about a Yom Tov. Rather, it's talking about on a regular Erev Shabbos. Because if it's talking about on Erev Shabbos, that's a Yom Tov, that's the next Mishnah that says the idea. So obviously, it's not like the way Rav Chisda is proposing. So Gemara says, no. I'm Rav Chanina Misura, Matam Kama. The next Mishnah is saying, what's the reason? That is, Matam Ein Madlikim Mishem and Sreif B'Yom Tov. What is the reason that we can't light the Shem and Sreif on Yom Tov, which was the reason why you can't light it for the Friday night candles, which you light before Friday night, which is on Friday, which is on Yom Tov? That is, as the following Mishnah says, Lefishein Sreifim Kachem Yom Tov, because we're not allowed to burn Kachem on Yom Tov, and this Truma Tamei is considered Kachem for that halacha, and therefore we can't use it for the Ner of Shabbos. As the Gemara says on the top of Chavdal Amad Aleph, Tani Kavos Drev Chizdom. We learned a brisa that says, like Rav Chisda, that kol elu sha'amru e madlikim e'am b'Shabbos, all these things that we said, that you're not all alike for them, for the candles of Shabbos, madlikim e'am b'Yom Tov, you're allowed to use them for the candles of Yom Tov, because we're not concerned about Shem Yata, because you're allowed to burn something in Yom Tov. Chutz m'shem and Sreifa, except for the case of Shem and Sreifa, which is the oil that's designated to be burnt, because it's Trumat Tumeya, And the reason is lefishein serfim kajim yamtiv, because since you're not allowed to burn kajim yamtiv, there you're not allowed to be mati. You're not allowed to go ahead and tilt it, even though you're allowed to burn regular candles in yamtiv. Here it's different because it's burning kajim yamtiv, and that's also, as the Gemara later will bring from sources from Sukkim, and that is why we can't use it, as Rav Chizda says, this truma tameya for lighting for the candles of Shabbos, because it's talking about a Friday that falls out on yamtiv.